Hello, welcome to the Monday, September 8th, 2014 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Augusta, Georgia. I just wrote up a quick diary with something that has been going on for quite a while, and these are brute force attacks. In part, the reason I wrote this up is that this is really something that you should be watching out for. What I've set up for myself is just a script that summarizes my web application logs and just tells me once a day what are the top 10 brute forcers, what accounts they try to brute force. And the one thing that's going on sort of with these persistent brute force attacks is, first of all, they're really coming from just a couple of different networks, mostly in the Ukraine, some in Russia, that are really responsible for the bulk of these attacks. The other thing I don't quite understand, and maybe someone can help me out with that, is the accounts they're actually trying to brute force are not important accounts anyway. Actually, pretty much all of the accounts that they're trying to brute force do not exist. Now, the domains that they are trying to brute force, because, well, we, like many sites, use the email address as a username, are essentially large public mail hosting services like Gmail and Hotmail. There's one in there I'm not really familiar with, but overall, what I assume they may be doing here is trying to brute force accounts in order to use them for spamming. And maybe these are accounts they either attempted to set up earlier, but that failed because we are quite picky on who we allow to set up an account with respect to spam protection, or maybe these are credentials they found on other sites and are now trying to use them against random sites. We do not log the passwords that are being attempted for privacy reasons, so not really sure if they're trying difficult or simple passwords. And then we got some good news from Microsoft regarding the upcoming patch Tuesday, which will happen tomorrow. Only four patches or four bulletins total. Only one of these bulletins is considered critical, and that's your usual Internet Explorer rollup patch. The other three patches are covering Windows 8 and 8.1 privilege escalation vulnerability that also affects Server 2012 and 2012 R2. And then there's also two denial of service vulnerabilities that are affecting the Link server and Windows or .NET. So nothing all that terribly exciting. However, we also, of course, get Adobe patches, and there will be one Adobe patch for PDF Reader and Acrobat. And FireEye is reporting that they found an older Windows backdoor being adopted for OS X. The backdoor in question is XSL command. It's not clear how it's actually infecting the system. It's probably not using a vulnerability here, but relying on the user to install it. However, it is being distributed via various websites by slightly modifying the Google Analytics code. So what they're doing is they're adding additional JavaScript to the Google Analytics code. That, of course, makes it a little bit harder to spot that a particular site is infected. And then they're using that JavaScript to distribute the backdoor. The code was first submitted to VirusTotal in August. However, it looks like it was written quite a while ago because it doesn't explicitly support the latest version of OS X Mavericks. It only supports older versions based on strings found in this particular backdoor. And also kind of interesting that it still appears to support the older PowerPC architecture, which of course hasn't been in use or being sold in quite a while. At this point, this appears to be more used in more targeted sort of waterhole attacks, so nothing that has been seen in large numbers out in the wild. Plenty of indicators of compromise in the FireEye blog, so if you want to take a look at your network, you do have what it takes to detect this particular backdoor. And one of the up-and-coming technologies to make your sites more robust against cross-site scripting vulnerabilities, or at least to prevent the exploitation of those vulnerabilities, is content security policies. The problem with content security policies is they can be quite complex, and if you implement them in an existing site, then frequently you have some code on your site legitimately that violates your policy. Google Chrome just came out with a pretty neat little plugin that allows you to create these content security policies and set up a report URI that then creates some user-friendly reports summarizing these policy violations. So if you're trying out a content security policy, take a look at the tool. It's called Casper, C-A-S-P-R, and it is distributed as a Google Chrome plugin. Of course, content security policies are now being supported by other browsers as well, not just by Google Chrome, who of course started these content security policies. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.